The following is a paid program.
This is the Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Edition of the Leach Report, live from Wild Eggs of Lexington. On today's menu, UK football talk with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach, plus former Kentucky assistant coach and NFL executive Steve Ortmeier. Interact with the show now by tweeting at Leach Report or email leachreport at gmail.com. Call us at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to our show for a Monday. We're on location, as always, at Wild Eggs, and this week we're at the one in Hamburg. This is our final one for this football season. We may end up being out here one more time, maybe before the bowl game, but we have enjoyed our visits to Wild Eggs each Monday between here and the Palomar location. So we're in Hamburg today. If you're out and about, stop by, grab a great breakfast here at Wild Eggs, and listen in to our show on the iHeartRadio app as we talk about Kentucky's trip to the Belk Bowl to match up with Virginia Tech on New Year's Eve in Charlotte. Coming up on the show today, Coach Steve Ortmeier's alongside, so we'll get his take on the bowl and on the season. Guy Ramsey will join us from UK Athletics to talk about the ticket options for fans. And we'll also check in with Andy Bitter, who covers Virginia Tech football for The Athletic, and get a scouting report on the Hokies. So that's our lineup today as we get to the Wildcat News of the Day. It's a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group. It's a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Little drama yesterday in the way this played out, because all the projections were pointing toward Kentucky playing Indiana in the Gator Bowl. And apparently Tennessee had a last-minute change of heart and made the Gator Bowl its number one preference. And understandably, the Vols had the win over Kentucky. They had the same record, so they got preference. And so they end up going to the Gator Bowl to face Indiana and instead of going to the Music City Bowl to face Louisville. I think the entity that comes out probably the biggest loser in all of the machinations of the bowl situation yesterday was the Music City Bowl folks, because they were going to have a sellout. I don't think they will now, but they were going to have a sellout for, I'm sure, Tennessee and Louisville. But anyway, on to Kentucky. I was really excited about a Gator Bowl matchup when there was an opportunity for Kentucky to play a ranked team. There were early speculation early last week, the names like Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, Iowa, any of those, a ranked Big Ten team, I thought was a really appealing matchup for Kentucky. Indiana, there's a, you know, they used to play frequently. There's, you know, the regional thing, but there's really not a lot of sizzle to that matchup. So the Gator Bowl lost some luster as that when that became kind of the likely matchup for me, just as a fan. So I really think this is a better game, just if you're a football fan, to watch this matchup. There's a lot more interesting storylines to this particular matchup. And I think the timing's probably better for Kentucky fans. It's an easier drive. And January 2nd, probably not a lot of people are off work, and it's a little bit more of a hassle to get off work to make that particular game. And then this one, you're probably, a lot of people are still off work during that time leading up to New Year's, or you can maybe make it work, and you can go you know, down on Monday afternoon and come back on Tuesday night if you need to for a trip to Charlotte, about a six-hour and change drive. Again, if it was Kentucky in the Gator Bowl playing Michigan, Iowa, I think there'd be probably a lot more sizzle to the matchup than Kentucky-Indiana. So I think it played out really just fine for Kentucky. This is a better team, certainly, than I think they would have been facing in IU. Virginia Tech's 8-4, held seven opponents to 21 points or less. Only had two losses after September, a one-pointer at Notre Dame, and then a nine-point loss to Virginia in their rivalry game on the last day of the regular season, or the last Friday of the regular season. There's a little history between these two. They last played in 1987, played fairly often in the 70s and 80s. In fact, when then Commonwealth Stadium, now Kroger Field, was opened in 1973, the very first opponent was Virginia Tech. I remember my dad got season tickets, and so we went to that game. It was just, I was, as a kid, really excited about going to all these games every so many times during the season with my dad, and the first game was Kentucky and Virginia Tech. Tickets are on sale as of the right now. We'll get Guy Ramsey on here shortly to talk a little bit about the ticket options. I saw an interesting note from Kyle Tucker, who will be with us on Wednesday from The Athletic. He says if Lynn Bowden rushes for 238 yards in this game, which is a high bar but doable, certainly it just comes off a 284 game, he would break the SEC record for rushing yards by a quarterback in a season. Cam Newton holds it at 1,473 in 2010. Lynn has 1,235 rushing yards this season. Basketball, Kentucky had an easy win as expected over Fairleigh Dickinson, 83-52. Big game for E.J. Montgomery, 25, a new career high for him. Keon Brooks had a personal best of 15. Ashton Hagans had his second career double-double with 11 assists and 11 points. Johnny Juzang got his first start, and even though he didn't score, I thought Cal gave him credit for a big offensive rebound that he got that led to a couple of free throws that stopped a mini run for FDU. And he also had another big hustle play late to come down and get a force a turnover. So Johnny acquitted himself well. Women's basketball, number 15 Kentucky over Samford, 79-49. Ryan Howard with a new personal high of 30. Volleyball, Kentucky, number 9 in the country, the number 9 seed, headed out to Waco, Texas to play in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA Volleyball Tournament against number 8 Washington at 2:30 Eastern on Friday afternoon. Links to the stories that we talk about can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. Coach Ortmeyer's alongside. We'll come back, get his take on the matchup with Virginia Tech and more when we return. We're on location at the Wild Eggs in Hamburg. And if you get a watch party together for a Kentucky basketball game or maybe for this bowl game, let Wild Eggs cater it. Takes the load off your shoulders. Everybody's going to love the food and makes it easy on you. Wild Eggs does a great job with their catering, so just give them a call and they will take great care of you. We'll be right back on the Leach Report Radio Network.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can interact with the show via Twitter at Leach Report. Now, here's Tom.
Back on location at the Wild Eggs in Hamburg. When we go to the phones here shortly, we'll do so on the KentuckyHempWorks.com hotline. But right now alongside me is Coach Steve Ortmeyer, as he is on these Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday morning quarterback shows. Kentucky and Virginia Tech in the Belk Bowl. You were telling me you watched the Tech-Virginia game on that Friday of Thanksgiving weekend. So what do you think about the matchup? Oh, let me turn your mic up.
Tech can play. They can play. They're fundamental. They're tough. And they've got some ability. This will be a good matchup. It really will. I totally agree with you that this would have been a better matchup than Indiana and the Gator Bowl.
Yeah.
So we've got a game on our hands, and it's just a matter of getting ready to play and going down and playing. But the important thing I think, this week and what's going to happen in the immediate future is. This is the bowl season for the Cats people. They need to go to work to get these guys not only through the exams, but get them through with flying colors.
Yeah, because you'd hate to lose somebody to an eligibility issue. And a lot of times you see those things happen. Kentucky lost Jordan Jones going into the bowl game last year.
Yep.
That's something to kind of keep your fingers crossed for. I know Stoops, I hear him after every practice. He's hammering away at the guys, and they monitor it. So they're doing their best to stay on top of them to make sure that they're taking care of their business. But for anybody who has kids, you know that
that's right.
What you say and what they do are not always
like
the same thing.
Hurting cats sometimes.
Yes. You know, for the way I look at a bowl game, I don't really agree or even like the thinking of it's an exhibition game. It doesn't matter. I think if you're playing, it's a bowl game. It matters if you win. But I do think, from a fan perspective, that there's no risk. So I like playing. I like the biggest challenge that the team I'm following can take on in the bowl game.
I agree with you.
I like the better game.
I think that's important, and I will tell you, as it's very different from being a fan and being a player. It is so important when you're a player to win the last game you play.
Yeah, especially if you're, you know, for seniors it feels that way, but it's a great carryover into the off season.
Yep. Yep, it is. It springboards you into spring practice because, you know, it's the 15 extra practices you get for the young guys is very important.
This is interesting. I saw Dan Reifer, who sits in for me sometimes on the show, had an interesting tweet. This is the first time they've played since 87. We mentioned that in the open. That was, according to Dan, Bud Foster's first year as the defensive coordinator there. He's a legendary defensive coordinator.
He
was
is.
With Frank Beamer for all those years at Tech. And he's retiring. So this it's interesting. His first season, they played Kentucky, and now his last game is going to be against Kentucky. And he's got to come up with a plan to try to slow down Lynn Bowden. So that's an interesting storyline, I think, to this matchup.
That'd be really an interesting plan for a defensive coordinator, particularly an old-time defensive coordinator. This is going to be a new experience for him because what Grant has put in for Bowden is just is exceptional. It's exceptional. It's very tough to defend. The counter stuff is totally beautiful, as well as being very, very hard to defend.
I was watching one of the highlight shows last night. I think this is a Football Night in America on NBC, and they were doing a segment on that shootout between the Niners and the Saints yesterday. And you were telling me you watched that one. I did not get to see that one, but I was watching the highlights package, and they were talking about all the different things that the 49ers were doing, bringing a guy in motion behind the quarterback and sending guys in different sets. And he said, but in essence, all they were doing was running straight up the middle, but they did a lot to confuse you as a defense. And this, as the analyst was talking about this, I thought, it's exactly what Kentucky's doing.
That's exactly what Kentucky's doing. They're giving them the same situation from a lot of different looks, and it's tough on a defense.
It's a tribute to Eddie and Darren Henshaw and what they're doing with the plan, and I think we don't mention this enough, a tribute to the players and their focus, because when you're doing a lot of different things like that, there's a lot of things that can go wrong to get you a penalty or something, and that's rarely happening.
That's right. Well, it's important. What's important is like what Stenberg told you, or I think he told you on your show or in the middle of the season, that you have to block a lot longer for Lynn because you don't know what he's coming back to.
Yeah.
And you saw that improvement in our offensive line as the season went on.
We're on location here at the Wild Eggs in Hamburg with Coach Ortmeier. Going to take a quick break. Guy Ramsey's going to join us from UK Athletics when we come right back to talk about some of the ticket options for fans who are going to follow the Cats down to Charlotte for the Belk Bowl on New Year's Eve at 12 noon Eastern Time. We'll be right back on the Leach Report Radio Network.
Find out more about the voice of the Cats and get great coverage of the Big Blue at TomLeachKY.com.
It's the Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Edition of the Leach Report. And joining us on the KentuckyHempWorks.com hotline is Guy Ramsey from UK Athletics. And, Guy, we now know the destination and the opponent. Tickets, I know, went on sale to the general public at the top of the hour about 20 or so minutes ago. What do fans need to know about tickets?
Yeah, I think the important thing is what you just said, is that they went on sale starting at 9 o'clock at ukathletics.com/bowl. I believe they start at $92 a piece through our official allotment, which I believe is located on the south side of Bank America Stadium. Students are also able to obtain tickets starting today. And generally speaking, we're just really excited to play in this game for the first time. I think we're very excited that the Belk Bowl really wanted us to be there, and I think we've got a pretty compelling matchup, and it's a drivable destination. So we feel like the Big Blue Nation is going to do what it always does, and that's fill the place up with blue. And that's a big reason why we land in good spots with our bowls pretty much every year when we're in this position, is because these bowls know that our fans have that reputation, that they will come. And I think that it's a cool new destination that we're all excited about.
It's not a particularly long drive from Blacksburg, I was reading. So I think Tech will be well represented. So it'll be important for the Big Blue Nation to turn out.
Absolutely. I think that you saw last year, winning that bowl game, what it did to energize our program. It just really makes a big difference heading into the off season. And with all we've got coming back next year and our goals to compete for SEC championships in the coming years, this is a chance to take another step towards that and finish off a season that we've fought through a lot of adversity. And our fans have been alongside us through thick and thin, through rain and shine, and more often rain. And this is one more chance to do that. And one more chance to cheer on a team that I think has really captured the hearts of a lot of people.
Do you know of any of the plans as far as anything with the alumni groups for pep rallies or any special activities that go on in conjunction with the bowl?
Those are in the works right now. Obviously, without a final for sure destination, those plans can't be final made. So those are in the works right now. And check our social media as well as the Alumni Association social media for information on that and location. But the nice thing is that the stadium is downtown, and I believe there are a lot of hotel options downtown. So I think there should be a whole lot of good entertainment options for Big Blue Nation in Charlotte.
Yeah, I'm guessing it was a little bit of a curve because all the projections, and that's all that you guys can actually work off of because you're waiting to get the word, were saying Jacksonville. So probably there was some planning going on for that. But I'm assuming you guys kind of have to what the other options are too, so you have a contingency in case you end up in Charlotte and one if you end up in Nashville, et cetera, right?
Yeah, exactly. We knew Nashville wasn't an option this year because we were there a couple of years ago, and that's an SEC rule. So that pretty much led us to know that it was either going to be Jacksonville or Charlotte, and we prepared for both of those options, thankfully, and we're ready to go when the announcement came. And now we've got an opponent, and now we've got a destination, so it's time to start preparing.
I know in the lead-up to the bowl, it helps to commit to tickets in terms of showing the interest to the bowl folks. Once the selection's made, is there still incentive for fans to go through your all site as far as anything that helps the university and the football program?
The primary incentive is that you're guaranteed to sit in the Kentucky section. If you buy through the bowl, which that's obviously an option, and we know that our fans have done that a ton in the last 3 years, and we are pumped when they do, and really excited to have them join us. But the nice thing about buying through our official allotment is that you're guaranteed to be sitting with your fellow Kentucky fans. And knowing, like you said, like that Virginia Tech is going to probably bring a big crowd as well, we really like the idea of having a big, unified blue crowd on our side and behind our team.
So ukathletics.com or ticketmaster.com, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, ukathletics.com/bowl is the link, and that takes you to Ticketmaster for the buy options, which there's club-level options and lower-level options. And yeah, we just really asked the Big Blue Nation to rally behind us again. This is a good chance for us, and we've already had a lot of pre-orders in, and season ticket holders and K-Fund donors who are eligible should have received confirmation emails last night if they submitted pre-orders. But yeah, we're just excited for New Year's Eve, Big Noon kickoff against a high-quality program that's really accomplished a lot. Yeah, it's a good opportunity for us.
Guy Ramsey, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Guy Ramsey from UK Athletics, Coach Ortmeier here with me. One thing, as you guys were going through bowl game prep several years there with Coach Brooks, and one thing you can do in a bowl game is you get a little creative. And I know one year that included putting Micah Johnson at running back.
Right.
So
right.
Eddie Grand might dial up something a little extra fun with Lynn Bowden.
That's Grand's MMO, so to speak. And I know that he's coming up with things every night. Every night he goes to sleep, he's coming up with things for Lynn.
Well, it's funny. I was watching the Ravens game yesterday, and they ran a play that they scored on where sent a guy in motion, and Lamar rolls out, and the guy's kind of running parallel to him,
yeah.
And it's almost like an option pitch forward.
Yeah, well, it was a nice play.
I'm sure he's probably watching things like that, get some ideas. We're on location at the Wild Eggs in Hamburg with Coach Ortmeier. It's our Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Show. We'll be right back.
Can't get to a radio? You can listen to us live on the web at talkradio1080.com. Now, back to the show.
It's our Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback edition of the Leach Report. We're on location at the Wild Eggs in Hamburg. Kentucky knows its bowl destination now. They'll play on New Year's Eve at noon Eastern at the home of the Carolina Panthers in the NFL down in Charlotte against the Virginia Tech Hokies, 8-4 out of the ACC. Joining us on the KentuckyHempWorks.com hotline is Andy Bitter from TheAthletic.com, where he covers Virginia Tech football. Andy, just looking at the results, it looks like this team really kind of found itself in October and November after a little bit of a rough first month of the season, right?
Yeah, it was definitely a turnaround. sort of a black and white turnaround. I mean, it was night and day, but the difference between how they played in that first month and then how they played for the last 2 months of the season, you know, with maybe the exception of the UVA game where some of those old habits kind of creeped in again. But they switched quarterbacks, Stan and Hooker. He did pretty well. The defense came around. Some of those young guys really started developing. And it looked like just a completely different team, quite honestly.
What did the change at quarterback do for them?
Well, I think the big thing was it gave them a mobile quarterback again. Ryan Willis was the starter at the beginning of the year. Not the most mobile guy, not somebody the defenses really had to respect as a runner. And, you put Hendon Hooker in there, all of a sudden he's somebody that's, they have to look at him potentially keeping the ball on the option. That kind of opened up the ground game a little bit. He was a lot more careful with the ball. Willis had four or five interceptions in those first couple games. Hooker has had, one legitimate interception that wasn't like a Hail Mary at the end of a half since then. So he's done a lot better protecting the ball, and he's really opened up the running game by being a factor there. I think that's really helped his offense.
Bud Foster's the longtime defensive coordinator. He's kind of been an institution there from with days with Coach Beamer and now into the new staff. And this is his final game. How much of a storyline is that for the Virginia Tech side?
Oh, it's a huge one. I mean, a couple years ago when Frank Beamer retired, that was all anybody was talking about going into that Independence Bowl against Tulsa. I think it was sort of a motivating factor for a lot of players. They wanted to send him out right. Well, Bud Foster is as revered around here as Frank Beamer was. I mean, a lot of people say he had as big of a reason for Beamer's success as anyone while he was here. So, I think you'll see an extra motivated defense in that game. Certainly a unique challenge, the kind of offense that Kentucky runs and, so dependent on Lynn Bowden there. It'll be a real interesting sort of chess match type thing. See if he can dial up something to slow down what's been a very effective rushing game.
Yeah, I think that is a really interesting storyline to this particular matchup. Makes it intriguing. And have they faced anybody, I think, like Lynn in terms of quarterback run game that they've seen this season?
Well, they faced a pretty good runner in the UVA game, and Bryce Perkins, and he showed why he was such a good runner in that first quarter. I think he had 137 yards on his first five carries. Now Virginia Tech shored things up there. The rest of the game, I think he finished with like 152. So you can see how the math works out that they kind of turn things around there. But historically, a mobile quarterback has given the Hokies trouble. It's something that, just sort of a kryptonite for Bud Foster's defense is if they have a guy that moved, they have trouble sort of bottling him up. Now, you have to have a passing threat with that. I don't know how good of a thrower Bowden is in that sense. But historically, guys that have been able to pass and run have sort of given the Hokies fits over the years.
Anybody else that, from an individual standpoint, that fans should pay particular attention to for this game from the Tech side?
Offensively, I think Trey Turner is probably their most explosive player, wide receiver. They call him Big Play Trey because he sort of has a knack for making big plays like that. He's been a little dinged up this year. He's had some hamstring issues, but, I think should be ready to go for the bowl game 100%. They like to hand the ball off to him on jet sweeps, on reverses, end arounds, all sorts of stuff. They like to throw the ball to him downfield. When this offense is humming, he's heavily involved in it. Defensively, I think a guy to look out for is Rayshard Ashby, the inside linebacker. And, you look at him standing on the field, he doesn't look like much. He's like 5'10", 230. He's just sort of a stocky guy that you go, man, how's this guy going to get to all over the field and make tackles? But he does. And it's kind of amazing. You're like, is he having that good of a game? Then you look down the stat sheet, he's got like 10 tackles. You wonder where all those tackles come from. So he sort of just has a knack for being around the ball and making plays. And, the way the coaches talk about him, I haven't heard as much praise heaped on one player around here in quite a while.
I know with Coach Beamer's teams, they were always famous for how good they were in special teams, blocking kicks and otherwise. Has that carried over with the change in staff?
A little bit. I mean, the emphasis on special teams is still there. It's been sort of a mixed bag this year in that department. You know, they have a very good punter in Oscar Bradburn, who's one of the top punters in the ACC. Return games haven't done that much. Certainly kick return, punt return's gotten a lift from Tavion Robinson, a true freshman who's gotten it there. It really sort of provided a spark for them in that facet. But they're not blocking kicks like they used to. And I don't know if that's necessarily moving away from Beamer ball or if that's just sort of the nature of the game now, these, you know, personal protectors that they have back there. It's a lot harder to get to kicks. And I think even later in the Beamer years, they sort of started moving away from going after the block to setting up the return. So and maybe it's sort of a continuation of that, but just overall they're not blocking nearly as many kicks as obviously they were in the late 90s or the early 2000s.
You can read Andy Bitter's coverage at theathletic.com. Where can they follow you on Twitter?
Andy Bitter VT.
Good stuff. Thank you very much for the time.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Andy Bitter joining us on the KentuckyHempWorks.com hotline. We'll take a break, come back with Coach Ortmeier, talk a little bit more about this matchup between Kentucky and Virginia Tech on the Leach Report Radio Network, served up by Wild Egg. We're here in Hamburg.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
Welcome back into our Shuffle Dean Coffee Monday morning quarterback edition of the Leach Report on location here at the Wild Eggs in Hamburg. You could pick up Wild Egg gift cards, make a nice stocking stuffer for this holiday season. We were talking with the writer for The Athletic about Coach Foster, the longtime defensive coordinator at Virginia Tech. It's going to be a little different dynamic from the Kentucky perspective in that the opponent is going to have Coach Ortmeier a month to prepare, whereas I think everybody Kentucky faced, I don't think they faced anybody that was, I don't think they faced anybody that was coming off an open date that had an extra week to prepare for Bowden. So, you know, that'll give them a lot of time. I would think Kentucky will probably need to maybe be able to throw the ball a little more than they did in some of those games, maybe like the 8-10 that they did down at Vanderbilt. And I think with Ahmad Wagner healthy, he was fully healthy for the first time in a while against Louisville, and they just, with the conditions and the way the game played out, didn't need to use him. But I would think he could be perhaps an interesting factor in this bowl game.
I would think he would, too. I would think that that's exactly what Eddie's thinking. And Personally, I'm excited to see Wagner. This will be the last time we get to see Wagner, and he's a special player, I think.
I think he's got a shot at making an NFL roster.
I think he does, too. He's so physically talented.
And, you know, with him being able to, Lynn being able to just throw the ball up to him, almost like he can post up, drawing, obviously, the pass interference penalties as he has, or making catches, I think that could be kind of, if you're looking for an unsung hero for Kentucky in a bowl game, he could be one.
He could be one, and as we say here, Eddie's got 3 weeks or a month, had a month now to kind of diagnose what Lamar's doing at Baltimore, and I would think we could incorporate some of that.
Yeah, that could be really interesting. It's going to be interesting, you know, just the storyline to that with Eddie and what he's doing offensively, Bud Foster and his you know, history, his resume on the defensive side. That particular chess match will be one of the more interesting bowl storylines, I would think, leading up to the postseason.
Yeah.
Bowden has, and it's, you know, from a fan standpoint, it's your last chance to watch a guy who's been just a unique talent. I mean, to think about, I mentioned the Kyle Tucker stat earlier. He tweeted out, Bowden has a chance with 238 yards to set the all-time rushing record in the Southeastern Conference, not the University of Kentucky, for a quarterback, passing Cam Newton. 238 yards is what he would need to do it. So it's a shot. There's a chance. And that's, when you think about it, he would be doing that in eight games. It's just incredible.
It is incredible. It is absolutely incredible. And it's also our last chance to see Bowden. I mean, we'll watch him for a number of years in the NFL, but this is our last chance to see him play for Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean, he is a junior, but I can't imagine that he'll be back for a senior season. And I think it was John Hale, the Courier, did a story recently about Lynn's NFL prospects, and I think one of the analysts he talked to, not a team executive, but a draft analyst, said that, you know, ideally the NFL folks would have liked to have seen him stay at receiver to see how he improved. I would think on the other side, though, this shows a lot about what he can handle, has the capacity to handle in terms of, you know, a complex offense or whatever. I mean, to show that he can handle all this says a lot about what you could put him into.
It should have opened up a lot of doors for him because this shows his football acumen. He's really a sharp guy. He's been able to pick everything up, and he's been able to translate it to the game.
We're on location here at the Wild Eggs in Hamburg for our Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Show. We'll take a break, come back with our final segment here with Coach Ortmeier on the Leach Report Radio Network. Back for our final segment of our Shuffle Bean Coffee Monday Morning Quarterback Edition of the Leach Report with Coach Ortmeier. I saw an interesting note here from our friend Evan Daniels, so I'll try to get him on the show tomorrow to talk about this. But this just coming out via Twitter from Evan that I'll just read you what it says. International star Kai Sato, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, will take an unofficial visit to Kentucky today. He's 17 years old, moved from the Philippines to the U.S. earlier this year and enrolled at the Atlanta, Georgia Skill Factory, and is a 2020 prospect. The story from Evan Daniels says that Sato is also hearing from Auburn, Georgia Tech, DePaul, Nebraska, USC, and a host of other schools. At 7'1", according to the story here, has impressive hands and touch, can score on the block. So, interesting. New name on the horizon. And we'll, I'm sure, learn more about that here in the next few days. We're here with Coach Ortmeier a little bit more about Kentucky and Virginia Tech in the bowl game. This is at an NFL stadium where the Panthers play. I've been to the stadium. I've not worked in the press box there, so that'll be a new dynamic for our crew. But I've been to a couple of games there. Really nice stadium, great sight lines. It's right in the heart of downtown Charlotte. It's been a few years since I was there, but I'm sure they've kept it up well. I think the fans will really enjoy the stadium. Reminded me a lot of the one in Nashville where the Titans play that I think is just an outstanding facility. So I think fans will enjoy that. So I would expect a large turnout. It's an easy drive, and the timing, while people still have a chance to get vacation days easily, should work well.
Yeah, this is Kentucky's kind of game because we can make this stadium blue, and it is a nice place to play. The turf is a good turf to play on, and it's just got everything working for it. So I would think our fans would have a good experience.
And for fans that are making the trip down, the Panthers actually are playing, I think it's the Saints, on Sunday afternoon at that stadium. So you could make a little longer trip and see the NFL game there. The Hornets actually are not at home until New Year's Eve, and unfortunately they're slated to play at 3 o'clock, which will be about the time the bowl game is ending against the Celtics. It's too bad that game is not the night before or later on New Year's Eve, because I think a lot of Kentucky fans would like to take in a game with P.J. Washington and the rest of the guys with the Hornets.
I would think so, too. You know, another thing that I mentioned a little while ago to you is if you're going to Charlotte and you're going to spend 2 or 3 days, the NASCAR Museum is a special place. You need to see the NASCAR Museum.
I have not been there, so that's interesting. Is it at the Speedway, at the Charlotte Motor Speedway?
No, it's close downtown.
Oh, okay.
Also.
Yeah. So I have some good friends that live in Charlotte, so nice restaurants. The downtown area is nice there around the stadium. At least last time I was there, it was. So I think it should be a good experience. And again, to just kind of cycle back to the matchup, I think a really intriguing matchup with the storylines that we've talked about with Bud Foster's defense trying to slow down Lynn Bowden. And then Kentucky has played so well defensively. It's a great chance to kind of have a launching pad for a lot of young guys into next season. You're going to lose guys like T.J. Carter and Calvin Taylor, but I think a guy like Boogie Watson, Josh Pascal, those are guys that could have that Josh Allen maybe type of breakout as a senior.
Yeah, they could. It's a chance to wrap up a special season in a way for the not only for the seniors but for the team this year, because they've been through so much adversity. So it will be a wrap up of a special season for UK, but it will most of all to me be a preview of next year.
Yeah, and I think Pascal will be a junior the next year, but Boogie would be a senior, and Boogie came on strong in the second, probably two-thirds of the year. So I think, he's a guy I could see making a big move up front. Bohanna, McCall, those will be guys. I think Kentucky's defensive front will help them greatly against a running quarterback here from Tech.
Yeah, and then several of the young linebackers, Square and
Davis has been coming on.
Davis, yeah, Square and Davis and Oates, those guys will get kicked off into next year.
And I'm assuming Ruffalo will hang on to the kicking job for the bowl game, so that's going to be one of the more interesting battles going into the next year. Matt will have another year left. Obviously, Chance Poor still in the mix. And then I see where they have offered a preferred walk-on status to a young man from Henry Clay.
Local player, yeah.
So, which is, given the struggles that they've had, it's understandable they'd go out and be looking for somebody else to add some depth there.
I'm sure Hood's looking around. Yep.
Looking forward to the matchups. Any particular of the bowl matchups that are particularly exciting for you?
Well, it depends on who wants to show up in Orlando, but the Alabama-Michigan game is a very attractive game. I think the Auburn-Minnesota game will be exciting also.
I would think, Kentucky's got so many young guys that are going to be coming back. There's going to be ample incentive for them. Tech, with their longtime defensive coordinator retiring, as Andy Bitter mentioned to us, ample incentive on that side. So that who wants to be there is always an angle to a bowl game. But I think in this one, that'll be neutralized, because I would assume both teams will enjoy being there.
I would think so. But that is, you are exactly right. That is a huge angle to a bowl game. It's who wants to be there.
Coach Steve Ortmeier with us on these Monday morning quarterback shows presented by Shuffle Bean Coffee. We're at Wild Eggs in Hamburg today. We'll get together again before the bowl game to get into more detail on the matchup. But for now, enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow on the Leach Report.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report Radio Network. Miss a show? Catch the podcast at TomLeachKY.com or on the iHeartRadio app.